You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. Google removes from the Play Store an app nominally designed to track COVID-19 infections. An EU-powered distribution consortium says its business systems were hacked. An assessment of Cablegate has been declassified. Ex-CIA employee Schultz's trial for disclosing classified information ends in a hung jury. The alleged proprietor of a criminal market is arrested. Crooks hack rival crooks. More U.S. primaries are held today. And a case of identity theft in North Carolina. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. Google has removed an app, AC19, from the Play Store. Developed on behalf of the Iranian government and deployed in Tehran, AC19 is described as an app that tracks COVID-19 coronavirus infections. Four things made Google skittish about AC19. First, it collects user geolocation data. Second, it was developed by Smart Land Strategy. Third, its description appeared to claim that it could test people for COVID-19, which, of course, it's impossible for a simple Android app to do. And fourth, it has to do with the coronavirus, and there's been so much misinformation and disinformation disseminated on that topic that Google is wary of anything purporting to have to do with COVID-19. Smart Land Strategy has indeed been involved in creating other apps for the Iranian government, notably the Telegram clones Gold Telegram and Hotgram. Both of those were ejected from the Play Store last spring on the grounds that they were suspected of secretly collecting user information, apparently on behalf of Iranian intelligence and security services. But AC19 may be innocent, at least in general. ZDNet cites an ESET researcher to the effect that he found no signs of malicious activity on the app's part. It requests user location data in the same overt way many other innocent Android apps do, and in any case, the location of an infected person is a reasonable bit of public health data. Some Iranian dissidents who asked to remain anonymous for their own safety did tell ZDNet that they thought Tehran was playing a long game here. Get people to download a tracking app during a period of crisis that the users would be inclined to leave in place even after the crisis has passed. In the short run, however, it's not clear that AC-19 is anything other than what it claims to be. The app is still available in third-party stores, but it won't test anyone for COVID-19 or anything else. The European Network of Transmission System Operators for Electricity, that's ENTSO-E, which coordinates European electrical power markets, disclosed that it suffered a successful cyber intrusion into its business systems. CyberScoop says power generation and distribution are unaffected by the incident, and so E's office network isn't connected to any operational or control system, and so, barring a successful pivot into an ENTSO-E member's control network, this should remain a business system compromise. The National Security Archive has released U.S. Cyber Command's declassified assessment of the damage done by the 2010 WikiLeaks publication of sensitive State Department cables. The National Security Archive summarizes the report as suggesting that illegal release of classified State Department cables in 2010 led to a period in which the U.S. government was hindered in its ability to track the activities of at least one of the most sophisticated APTs operating on the geopolitical stage. End quote. Thus, the assessment by the fusion group assigned to investigate is that Cablegate, as it was called at the time, tipped off an adversary on how well the U.S. was able to monitor one of its cyber operational groups. The identity of that nation-state is redacted in the declassified material, but it's generally believed to have been China. The trial of former CIA employee Joshua Schulte on charges connected to WikiLeaks Vault 7 ended in New York yesterday, with convictions on the minor counts of perjury and contempt, but with a hung jury on the 8 far more serious charges of improperly disclosing classified information. The jurors could not agree that the government met its burden of proof, and presiding Judge Paul Crotty declared a mistrial. The Washington Post says the government will in all likelihood seek a retrial. A conference scheduled for March 26th is expected to outline the next steps. U.S. authorities have arrested Kirill Viktorich Firsov in charges related to his alleged operation of the Deer.io black market, ZDNet reports. The FBI picked up Mr. Firsov at New York's Kennedy Airport this past Saturday. He's charged with 2 counts relating to aiding and abetting fraud through the site, which has been in operation since 2013. The indictment affords an interesting look into the criminal economy. Deer.io sells access to storefronts on its platform, and those storefronts are generally used to offer the sort of wares criminal hackers sell: compromised or stolen credentials, personally identifiable material used for identity theft, hacking services, and so on. On March 4th, the FBI made a buy of about 1,100 gamer accounts from one of Deer.io's storefronts, confirmed their illegal provenance, and so obtained their warrant. The Bureau says it's found no legitimate businesses operating in Deer.io. The platform is hosted in Russia, which makes one wonder why Mr. Firsov was so incautious as to travel through JFK. A Deer.io admin, believed to be Mr. Firsov, explained the business to ZDNet back in 2016. Quote, Deer.io works according to the laws of the Russian Federation. Our clients can create shops that do not violate the laws of the Russian Federation. We block shops that sell drugs or stolen bank accounts. We will also block any shop if requested by Roskomnadzor or the competent authorities of the Russian Federation. End quote. Elsewhere in the underworld, Cyber Reason researchers have observed criminals hacking criminals, infecting rivals' hacking tools with NJRAT, leading many writing about the topic to return to the gods of the copybook headings and so remark that there's no honor among thieves. Threat intelligence firm Recorded Future recently published their list of top vulnerabilities they tracked in 2019. Kathleen Kuzma is a sales engineer at Recorded Future, and she joins us with their findings.
This report was first created 5 years ago, so this is the 5th annual version of the annual Top Exploited Vulnerability Report. And it was first created because there is the gap between which vulnerabilities are listed as critical versus which ones are actually actively being exploited on the dark web and on underground forums. And based on Recorded Future's collection in those areas, Recorded Future thought that we can shed some light and help security practitioners know exactly which vulnerabilities they should patch based on weaponization.
Well, take us through some of the key findings here. What were some of the insights that you were able to bring to the table?
Some of the key findings of this year's report is that for a third straight year, Microsoft was the technology most impacted by these vulnerabilities. So 8 of the top 10 exploited vulnerabilities were impacting Microsoft products, similar to 2018's report. And there are a few different reasons why Microsoft itself might be a bigger target. One of those is because of how prolific Microsoft products still are throughout a variety of enterprise and government employers, whether that's federal, state, or local governments. So Microsoft still continues to be a large target for these cyber criminals.
Were there any particular surprises that came out of this year's version of the report? Anything that bubbled up that you didn't expect?
One of the biggest surprises of this year's report compared to other years is that there was a large number of vulnerabilities that were repeated from the prior year. This goes hand in hand with then there only being one vulnerability from the 2019 calendar year that was exploited enough to be included in the top 10. And this was surprising because in past years, we've typically had at least 3 or 4 vulnerabilities from that particular calendar year included. And I believe, or Recorded Future believes, one of the main reasons why there were so many repeated vulnerabilities is because of the number of new exploit kits continues to dwindle. So because of the number of exploit kits continuing to decrease, there are less reasons to include new vulnerabilities in those exploit kits. And this has helped contribute, at least why Recorded Future thinks, that there are not as many 2019 vulnerabilities included in that top exploited category.
What are your recommendations based on the information you gathered here? What are you suggesting people do to help protect themselves?
One of the main things that people and companies can do to protect themselves from these vulnerabilities is to enable automated patching whenever possible. There are many researchers across Microsoft and Adobe as well who are working on what are those vulnerabilities that are new and helping them with the patching cycle. So enabling automated patching whenever possible. But then for those vulnerabilities that say can't be automatically patched, or there's a reason they can't be, maybe because of the technology itself that the automated patch would be impacting, that's when using threat intelligence to learn of these vulnerabilities that are left, which ones are the most weaponized. These are the ones that we should impact and are the ones that we should patch. That's where threat intelligence can come in and help prioritize those critical vulnerabilities that patching teams cannot keep up with.
That's Kathleen Kuzma from Recorded Future. Another test of U.S. election security comes today as 5 states, Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, and Washington, hold primaries, and 1, North Dakota, holds a firehouse caucus. NBC has a summary as well as an explanation of what a firehouse caucus is. It's more like a primary than the sort of caucus recently held with dismal effect in Iowa. People go to a polling place, like maybe the local firehouse, to vote, but the voting is run by the political party and not by state and local election officials. Finally, to return to crime, a poor guy in North Carolina had his identity stolen by an unknown creep who used it to create a PayPal account and use it to subscribe to a database of leaked personal information, which the unknown creep then used to pretend to be country singer Kenny Chesney. The false Chesney then contacted various women in the hope of luring them into sending him, or perhaps her, racy photographs. What success the creep had is unclear from the Daily Beast's account, but the arbitrariness of the initial identity theft is unsettling. The victim was initially a person of interest to the FBI, which confiscated his devices for 2 weeks before returning them upon realizing that they had the wrong guy. The victim, an innocent math teacher, told the Beast that, quote, "It could have been anyone who got my information from an envelope or anybody who ever had my name and address," end quote. And that is just creepy. Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations.
Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And joining me once again is Ben Yellen. He's from the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Also my co-host on the Caveat podcast. Ben, great to have you back.
Good to be back with you, Dave.
We have been following with great interest the ongoing saga of Clearview AI, the company that scraped, by many counts, billions of images from the web. And this story just keeps on getting more and more interesting. What's the latest here?
So we found out, and I'm reading this from a Daily Beast article, but it was really all over the internet, that this facial recognition company, Clearview AI, suffered a very significant data breach, which exposed its entire client list. And there were, like all data breaches, you know, maybe compare this to Ashley Madison. This is not necessarily a client list that you want to be a part of. It included many local police departments, state police, Department of Homeland Security, et cetera. You know, we don't really have any information as to who perpetuated the attack. The company is saying that security is, of course, their top priority.
Of course.
Data patches are part of life. Servers weren't accessed. They patched the flaw, et cetera, et cetera. But it comes at a very perilous time for Clearview AI. They were the subject of this recent expose by the New York Times, which reported that they're scraping 3 billion images from the internet from most popular social media sites.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about that article. There were some follow-up articles. There were interviews with the founder of Clearview AI. And this just sort of adds on to this very difficult period and will certainly bring more bad publicity, not just for suffering the breach, but from having the list of clients come out.
I've seen some follow-up on this story, saying that, sort of as you say, some of the agencies who may be doing business with Clearview aren't very happy that their names are out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad timing for them, too, because we're still sort of in the early stages of this controversy. I mean, most people didn't know that Clearview AI had existed. Even people who are up to date on these types of issues didn't know that this company had existed until a couple of months ago. And, you know, I think it's not only bad publicity, you know, for the private companies that contract with them, it could be bad for the bottom line.
Right.
But, you know, for police departments that have wrought relationships with particular communities, you know, it might be eye-opening to their constituents to see that they are contracting with a company that's been publicly revealed to be scraping images from the internet and using that technology to identify criminal suspects. So, you know, from these organizations that have been breached, from their perspective, I can see why this is so frustrating that, you know, they're going to have to the same bad publicity that's coming the way of Clearview AI is going to come to them because they are one of the clients.
So at a moment when Clearview already has a spotlight shining bright on them, this really doesn't help their case.
It certainly does not. And, you know, this is exactly the development that Clearview didn't want to happen for a couple of reasons. One, you know, as a company that is scraping this information, you don't want anything to call into question your security and privacy practices mm-hmm. as a company. And I think that's why a spokesman for the company was so quick to try to mitigate the public relations damage here. I think they would be particularly sensitive to the fact that their data, whatever data it was breached, and here it's just a client list, that there are vulnerabilities. Because as we know, you know, when you have 3 billion images, it's only a matter of time. If somebody is able to infiltrate your client list, they might be able to get a hold of some of those images.
Yeah.
So certainly it's something that should deeply concern Clearview AI. I sort of noticed just in the general social media community, there was like a schadenfreude, you know, because Clearview AI had exposed private images of so many people, and now, you know, there's sort of been comeupance now that some of their information has been stolen.
Turnabout is fair play,
Which I can certainly understand that perspective.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we said at the outset, their saga continues, and I suppose there's more to come.
I'm sure we'll be talking about Clearview AI into perpetuity.
All right. Ben Yellen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire Daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.